This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
With that, folks, good evening, Sharks fans and fans all over the world. We welcome you to this edition, our season premiere edition of Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. We do this on our YouTube channel, following every single Sharks game, home and away, regular season, or playoffs. I am your host, Eric Kerr. You can always follow me on at PuckGuy14. We'll get to my fellow co-host, Al Martini, in just a moment. But this is for everybody. So if you want to be part of the show, here's how you do it. Join us with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. And as always, follow us on the social using the Teal Town USA, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, SoundCloud, Reddit, you name it. And of course, for more Sharks content, visit TealTownUSA.com for all your good stuff. With me tonight, Mr. Al Martinet. Al, how was your summer first off?
Good. Very good. Great to actually start a new hockey season, number one. But yeah, good. Very good. Good to see you again also. And
likewise.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those nights where it's great to be a part of the family of Teal, and not so great to be a part of the, well, let's be honest, of the loss there. Christian Ruiz, I just want to clear my debt and not say something stupid. Let this be AJ rant. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, this was a game where you kind of could see the problems lying ahead of it as soon as the Erik Karlsson news broke, maybe 20 minutes ahead of the puck drop.
Yeah, and that's let's talk about that. As the guys were warming up on the ice, they announced that Erik Karlsson was going to be out of this game due to a personal matter. Something definitely came up, and we hope that everything in the Karlsson family is doing okay. Always a rough go at it to hear when something goes down last minute. So,
yeah, and he was the replacement for Erik Karlsson, and he'd had a let's say not the best preseason, and was definitely in Pierre DeBoer's doghouse from the looks of it. So don't know what's going on with Heed. And it was not the best showing from Heed tonight. So, it's going to be interesting what happens with Heed when you got the full staff coming back. You got Karlsson. Yeah. He might just be up in the player's box throughout the season. If you get another performance like this.
Gotcha. For some reason, I think my connection is not working. Gee, what a shock. It's the season premiere, and we're already having issues, you know? Yeah, that's terrific. let's see here.
It looks fine on my end.
Looks fine on your end? Okay,
yep.
How about that?
Hey, now. There we go. I think we're a lot better.
And it's gone.
Can't hear me? Can you hear me? Ow.
Whatever you did, I can't hear you.
Of course. So, with that, AJ's like walking, like just about to lose his shit right now. How about now?
That's 100% better.
All right. There we go. Finally, let's get at it. And as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Did Eric die? Well, I'm sure a lot of people would wish that would be happening right now, but you know, we'll go onward and get to that. So, all right, let's talk about this game. Season opener, as we said, Erik Karlsson out due to family matters or personal matters. We should be more concerning about. And Tim Hien makes it into the lineup. So let's get at this. 2 minutes into the game, Tomas Hertl gets checked from behind. No call on the play. Looked like a little bit of a high head hit. What did you think? What did you think of that one?
Yeah, the high head hit. I thought the officiating was very much. They missed a lot of calls for both teams. A lot of calls for the San Jose Sharks in the first period. And I really thought if the Sharks got the first goal, maybe you could have seen the momentum go their way. But
right.
But just I thought that was an easy miss. And I thought there was another tripping call that happened just like a minute or two later. So back-to-back missed calls, and you see Vegas easily get the momentum with home ice.
With home ice, and then right after that, 2:48 in, Burns goes off for a tripping call, sets up the Sharks on the PK, sets up Vegas for their opening goal, and of course, less than 5 minutes in, at 3:46, Mark Stone, unassisted, I believe is what they gave it to him, at 3:46, and 1-0 Vegas on that one.
Yep, Mark Stone, the new, but he was the trade deadline acquisition, and they paid him a lot of money during the off season, or well, that was actually as soon as it happened. But stop moving your mic.
Sorry, I'm trying. I'm getting texts from AJ trying to make sure my audio is right.
But it was a great shot, and Mark Stone had a really good game tonight. And he's going to be a force in this division for quite a while, especially with the forward depth that they have. Vegas is an easy favorite for this upcoming season, and it's just the forward depth, and you saw that tonight.
Yep. And JF Turner in the chat saying, we had a preseason roster out there. We had no chance.
I can see that. That's a pretty good reasoning. I think a lot of it was also the chemistry issues on the D-line, a lot of forward depth. Like, you don't have Kane. You don't have your star defenseman that you traded for last offseason. everything else, when you don't have what you've been building for towards the offseason and you have it missing a day or two leading up to it, it's kind of, you're going to have a lot of issues. So that's kind of where my issues are.
Yeah. And, there's a lot of problems with this team right now, and I don't think it didn't help anything that they get off a goal 3:46 into the game. Then at 5:21, Riley Smith gets the start of a two-goal night for him on a turnover from Marc-Edouard Vlasic and Dalton Prout. Welcome to Team Teal, Dalton Prout. You reminded me of Roman Polak a lot tonight in that one. Don't touch the buttons. Got it. Thank you, California Cruising. Okay. But Riley Smith on a, you know, tic-tac-toe goal with William Karlsson. And this is one of the goals where I don't think you could blame Martin Jones on this one.
No. Really good goal on both ends. I thought Jones tonight had a really good night. 31 saves out of 35 shots. pretty good night, just out of circumstances. You have a lot of D chemistry that just wasn't there. Burns, I thought, was decent tonight, but he did take a couple of penalties early that I thought set the tone in that first period. So not his great best game, but maybe he could have done a little bit better.
Yeah. And a lot of teams, I think he could be better. It's again, a lot of people saying, I apologize for getting your name wrong, but Michael Zavorskis, we had an AHL roster versus an NHL roster. Yeah, I completely agree on that one. Christian Ruiz, Prout didn't swing, Somo Love. and Rob Hyman saying in there, none of these goals can be blamed on Jones. It's one of those ones where it's like, here we go again. You have two goals in a matter of almost 2 minutes, and it's like the team is just starting to get back into that same pattern that they did last year.
Yes, but I was impressed after they were down two goals that they were kind of responding, really towards the end of that first period, and then did capitalize with that 2-1 Sorensen goal. That was pretty nice. Holding the neutral zone, causing turnovers, and then leading into that Sorensen goal.
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, the penalties come up in within a minute of each other. Brandon Peary takes a hooking call on Timo Meier. That sets up a Sharks power play. In order to avoid a breakaway for Mark Stone, Kevin LeBanc takes a hooking call. So we get the always exciting 4-on-4 play there at 6:47. Nothing comes up with that for Vegas in that one, thank goodness. At 9:32, looks like Logan Couture was going after the puck. Essentially played kneesies with Nate Schmidt. Nate Schmidt didn't play too much after that. And, we hope he's okay, but I don't think there was anything malicious from Couture, of all things.
Yeah, it looked pretty accidental. It wasn't like a Dustin Brown hit or any of that stuff that we've seen before with the Kings. This seems like it was very much a in the action moment. I don't think the Vegas Golden Knights have announced anything regarding that injury, and they probably won't, because the Sharks play Vegas on Friday, so same deal. But I would probably bet you he's not going to play on Friday.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. We'll see what happens there. What goes on with Nate Schmidt? Something to keep an eye on. A lot of guys got banged up after tonight, for sure. Then after that, a couple of penalties again. Sorensen goes off for slashing William Carrier. Sets up another Vegas power play, only to last 6 seconds on probably one of the weakest slashing calls I've seen. Peter Stastny gets calls off for Barkley Goodrow. Honestly, Barkley, I think you weren't hanging in there, hanging onto your stick too much,
I think both teams knew that the NHL was going to call this game pretty tight, just because of what happened game 7, round 1. The major penalty with Pavelski, and we'll get into Pavelski later, but I thought they called it pretty tight at points, but they did let a lot of things go, like the hurdle hit, the tripping calls, and so forth.
Yep. And so that goes without nothing, but just right after Sorensen gets out of the box, he scores the first goal of the season for the Sharks at 12:14 from Couture and Burns. Marcus Sorensen, if you had him in the bank, good for you, but a nice shot by him, Al.
If you had Marcus Sorensen scoring the first goal for the San Jose Sharks this season, I want to see it, because I don't believe you.
Yeah, right.
If you had Carlson, I would say yeah.
Yeah. So it would be 2-1 after 20 minutes a play. Vegas 12-8 on shots in that first period. They literally owned the Sharks in the faceoff circle, and that's going to be one of the biggest things going forward into the season. So, you know, it's going to be a rough one. So, we got a update here. PDB says no update on Meyer LeBanc. We'll get to that in just a jiffy once we get to the third period. Second period, well, I think I said it on the Twitter mission when we were filling in for Brody and Sonia and Curtis. You know, I said, make sure you get on Vegas early and avoid giving up the goal 5 minutes in. Yeah, they didn't listen to that one. 212, Cody Glass becomes the 1 millionth NHL player to score his first NHL goal from Pacioretty and Stone to make it 3-1 Vegas. Al, I unfortunately, looking at the replay, Jumbo is not a defenseman here, and he had to play it again. This seems like one that Jones is not its fault.
Yeah, Jumbo was minus three tonight. Some of that was Jumbo's fault. Turnovers, speed on his line just wasn't there. He didn't seem like he had the same step early on like he did last year at the same point, which is kind of worrisome because of the age. But, you know, turnovers in the our own zone pretty much led to that play. And, yeah. I don't know how many people have scored their first goal against the San Jose Sharks, but it feels like a million.
Right? I think it's close to 100, but we have Uncle Darren Stevens on their thing, and Patrick Tyler chiming in. I know the chat's going wild right now, but Vlasic also a minus 3-2, I think, yeah. And just another Randy G, Jumbo isn't a defenseman. Yeah, exactly the point. Exactly the point. I think it was Jumbo that got beat by Marchessault, and Mario Ferraro tried to stop it on one of the goals on Sunday in the preseason finale. So definitely a rough one there. That made it 3-1. 6:02, Melker Carlson goes in for slashing. You know, definitely a bad penalty there when you break a stick.
Yep.
Then later on, Gambrell looks like he took a headshot by Will Carrier. No call there. Just a rough night for the Sharks all around. 13:44, Braden McNabb takes a punch towards Timo Meier. That set up a Sharks power play that, of course, didn't do nada.
0-for-6 tonight. I'm trying to think, when was their last, they were 0-for-7 the last game against St. Louis, so they're on their 0-for-13.
Yeah. Jared Bayer saying at night, seemed like all night the Sharks players were not where they intended to be on the ice. There was a lot of slips. There was a lot of falls. Seemed like a lot of guys out of position. Definitely felt more discombobulated and definitely felt like the first preseason game than regular season for sure.
Yeah, it is kind of worrisome that they only got 16 shots on Fleury. I mean, that's a pretty light workload for Fleury. When you know that the way to beat Fleury is to put as many shots and, you know, rebounds, getting people in front of him. And we used to have a person in game in front of the net and tipping shots, and that person is not there anymore.
Yep. Rough go around all night long. I think the Sharks had 22 shots on the night. Vegas had 16 in the second period alone. Third period, it would be a shot advantage in favor of San Jose, 9-7. But I thought there were some chances there.
Kind of a snoozer. But
yeah, I mean, 3:08, Shea Theodore takes a shot for a hooking. Sharks don't do anything, but Vegas did. Riley Smith with his second, a shorthanded goal. Assist to William Carlson there to make it 4-1. That would be your final there. Meyer would take a shot to LeBanc. Some are saying wrist. To me, it looked like a place where the sun don't shine. Either way, he's hurting. As per AJ on here, no update from DeBoer on EK65, Timo, or LeBanc postgame per Kurz from The Athletic. So we won't know anything on that until maybe tomorrow when the team gets back into town. 14:59, Tomasz Nosek, who was recipient of a headshot from Jumbo Joe Thornton last playoff, has a high stick on Kevin LeBanc, perhaps inadvertent, but the high stick was high up. You wonder, for a two-minute call, you wonder if that gets possibly looked at.
It looked kind of odd, just because of maybe it was the height difference in between him and LeBanc, but his reaction was really kind of odd. Just the way he shoved his stick towards his head.
Yeah, and that's what I have a concern for about. So
and LeBanc went straight down.
Yeah.
This wasn't like him trying to sell a call or any of that stuff. He was straight down. So maybe we're talking about concussion, but that's not something. Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to talk about someone's health. So
yeah. That's for sure. And unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things where we hope that everything is okay. But again, PDB is not saying much right now. At least holding his pocket, his deck of cards close to himself. Hopefully, we'll find out something maybe on Thursday for sure. So, go ahead now.
I was just gonna say that, like, even if like we had Kane, you know, and the Shark staff was like fully forwards, like fully healthy, I think our forward depth is still one of the weakest in the division. And this is not the start you would want, having your two young prospects, your talent going forward, getting injuries. Yeah, this does put more weight on getting someone like a former captain back in Team T.
I have no idea which one you're talking about.
No, not saying his name.
Oh boy, I think Rob Humphrey's trying to bait you here, saying let's bring back Niemi again. I didn't think it was a horrible game by Jones. I think his defense left him out to dry, that's for sure.
I when you stop 31 shots, 35, like, I thought he was decent tonight, but he was decent with what he worked with.
That's a good way of putting it there. He was good with what he had to work with in there as well. California Cruisin', did Al upgrade with the wall with a rally towel? Yes, it looks like he did.
I mean, it was already there last playoffs. So you can go back and look.
Right. So overall, the final shots... Vegas outshot the Sharks 35-22. Faceoffs, while they were dominating them after 20 minutes, Sharks closed in on that faceoff win 53-47 for players individually. It was a rough night. You know, Joe Thornton won 73% of the draws. Lukasz Radil won 100%, but Hurdle at 40, Couture at 33, Goodrow at 44, Gambrell at 43. Tough one to do, and that was a big issue in last year's playoffs, especially on the power play.
Yep. And, we're going to miss Pavelski's production, leadership on and off the ice. This is going to be a harder season than it normally is with the Sharks getting into the playoffs. So just be prepared for that. This is going to be a tough season.
It's not going to be a cakewalk, but I also think that the Sharks are capable of doing it if they are on full board, if that makes any sense.
Full board, yeah.
So power plays, the Sharks were 0 for 5. Vegas went 1 for 4. Hits, 40-32. I guess the Golden Knights have found a new hit counter with their stats person, so... We'll be in that. Blocks 12 apiece for both teams. Giveaways 18-8. on that. So that puts a bow on this game. Let's get to the chat, shall we? All right, let's rock and roll. Laurel, good evening, my dear. Good to see you. So Kane, not going to appeal, correct? That is correct. He will not appeal the suspension on that one.
Yeah, I think we would have heard that by now, but yeah, I think you take the risk of serving 10 if you fail to appeal.
Yeah, so. I mean, you can appeal the thing, and the risk is that you can, is like, oh yeah, well, we'll make it 6 now. So, does VGK get a ref abuse call, or no, they're Vegas, they can get away with it.
Nope.
Just another Randy G on the bright side. Remember, nobody really expected the Sharks to do of the Sharks in 15-16. Yeah, that's true. And it's one game. I mean, Al and I can go on about how awful this team is, how this season's over and everything, you know.
But what I will say about 15-16 is that the following free agency or the free agency before that, they did make, you know, Paul Martin, people that actually did lead into this, you know, upcoming season. You know, Erik Karlsson, that was the real big addition. And him not showing up day one with whatever this is, whatever's going on, I hope everything's all right. That's the big thing. And he's a big talent. We just signed a gigantic cap hit to the team.
Right.
So, yeah. And it's really just like, what does an Erik Karlsson team look like for a full year with the San Jose Sharks, not what I thought it was for 50 something games or even
53, 40 something. I thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's remains to be seen, and hopefully everything is okay and he's back on Friday night. No guarantees though. Mr. Changeo, Doug Wilson put all his chips on giving the prospects an opportunity to make this team, and they couldn't step up. Now we're left with a bunch of fourth line players to fill out the roster.
That's true.
It's one game, though. I mean, but you know,
he's not wrong though.
You know, that's a fact. Mole Rat 33. Why the hell did Bronczynski play? I have no idea. I'm not sure why. He seemed really really good in the preseason, in my mind.
I mean, he was on the first line, second. He was one of the top lines.
Yeah, but I mean, he was top 6 in there, and hopefully he'll get in Friday for sure. Just another Randy G. Why is everybody saying Dylan needs to be traded? He was a plus minus leader last season. Worked really well with EK65.
Not in that cap, Mark Camp.
He is a UFA at the end of the season, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, I don't see that happening because none of the other Sharks defensemen have risen to that level quite yet. So no one's going for his job yet.
Yeah, Robin Malloy, like Burns and Cooch playing the same side on the power play at the end. Again, new season, new look. I'll be honest, Al, I was kind of hoping we can, you know, set up Burns or EK65 on one point, Logan on the other, you know, have Timo, Hurdle, and LeBanc all on the same power play. It worked well about 5 months ago.
Did. And then everyone besides Couture got hurt and Burns.
Yeah. The PDB blender will be in overdrive this season. Yes, for sure. That's for sure. All right. And it'll be interesting to see. And with the Barracuda being nearby, of course, and this is one of the advantages of having them in the same building, is that you can call up a guy and he'll be here all ready to go. So, all right. So with that, the Sharks lose their season opener 4-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights. So, Al, do you think it's time?
I think it's time.
All right.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
Jeez. It's wrap around, for crying out loud. My goodness. All right, let's get to the handful of games on the evening tonight in the National Hockey League on this opening night. What are you shaking your head about?
The music didn't play.
Really? Played on my end. Terrific. All right. Toronto 5-3 over the Ottawa Senators. San Ramon native Austin Matthews with 2 goals on the evening. The Battle of the Andersons here, the one that spells his name with an E at the end, making the stops to get through a first win for the Maple Leafs on that one. The banner-raising celebration in St. Louis ends a little salty as the Capitals win 3-2 over the Blues. Alex Pietrangelo and Sammy Blais with 2 goals for the Blues, but it ends up being not enough as Jacob Vrana, 2:51 into overtime, gets the game winner as the Caps beat the Blues in the battle of the last two Stanley Cup champions. We told you about the Sharks and the Golden Knights, but up in, okay, where are you? Come on. I know you were here somewhere. There we go. In Edmonton, the Vancouver Canucks lose to the Edmonton Oilers 3-2. Connor McDavid with the game-winning goal at 14:37 of the third. Zach Cassian and Leon Draisaitl with their opening goals. Alex Edler, Tanner Pearson with the 2 goals on there with that. So, apparently it played on there, but not for you. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
All right. So that is your quick look at the NHL wrap around. VGK coverage. One of our good friends there. Hey, y'all, I know I talk trash but on your chat, but you know I don't bring it here. Hopefully y'all set it up. This game will be close. Yeah, we hope so too, VGK coverage. We hope so too. VGK coverage is one of the longtime friends of the show, and one of the few friends of the show from Vegas that we do appreciate on here. So we'll get to that. So let's see. Let's talk about shirts. Have you seen these yet, Al?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, my goodness. And this is very limited because we are running out of shirts already. Hit yourself up on tealtownusa.com and join us in the swag shop where you can get one of these beauties for $25. We are running low. We only have teal. Wait, let me get out of here really quick. I'm going to not to steal your thunder, but let's show off this t-shirt here. We worked very hard with my friend Caitlin Best. You know her as Mrs. Crankshaft on Twitter from Custom Ink to get the right teal on here. So $25 goes to help support the show for sure. So do us a favor. Check that out. That beautiful Teal Town t-shirt. We also have in the women's. We're running very low on the on the teal. I believe AJ said that we only have a large left in the teal. AJ, if you can let me know what's left of what in there, but only 10 left available sizes are on the website. So just go check that out for sure at tealtownusa.com. That's right. We have the teal men's, the teal women's, and a black stealth, which looks really badass, in my opinion. So yeah, we still have large teals left, so check us out there on tealtownusa.com. that is in the swag shop, and we appreciate immensely the shirts. Laurel saying it's a gorgeous shirt. Trust me. Yes, we trust you immensely there. So all right, Al, we'll bring you back in now that I've pimped out our shirts here. Let's see.
Welcome back to Pimp My Shirt.
VGK coverage saying Jones actually surprised me. I felt like Wild Bill should have had at least a couple of goals. Jones came up big multiple times. Yeah, I think it was a good game from Jones, but not enough. So anywho, and for the sizes that we don't have, let's just be honest here. We will Lori Ann saying not available in the size that she's looking for. There will be more available soon. We rest assured that will happen. But as for Jones, Al, I thought he had a good night.
I mean, all you can ask for when you're down by this many men on the ice, and being down two goals almost 3 minutes or 4 minutes into the game, is to at least have a shot. And he gave him the Sharks a shot. Yep. Starting off the second period, it was 2-1. Things could have happened. But the forward depth was just not there. The chemistry and offensive issues were just prevalent for the Sharks from the very beginning. And it's going to be an issue. And Jones is definitely going to be the one who's going to have to bail out the Sharks. And he did that for a period and a half. Hopefully he can rise to that level for three periods. And that might be the story for Jones right now. Can he hold that all the way through a 60 minutes?
Yep. And getting off to a good start, very vital, especially against Vegas, who are known to go out and to attack and get on the board really quickly and with quantity as well. Yes. Rob Humphrey asking, what jerseys are you wearing tonight? If you don't mind, Al, could you go ahead and model which one you're rocking tonight? Obviously, it looks like it's the original black jersey.
Yep.
I believe that's what, Cheechy on the back?
Yep.
Yeah, he's got Cheechy on the back of it. Mine is the...
And then Cheechy, you can see it.
There you go. Very nice. I'm rocking the Adidas. This one has my nickname on the back of it. You don't need to see that for sure. Final thoughts in the chat. Robin Malloy, Hurdle should have been lined up with LeBanc. Hurdle had no line help. When we saw the lines this morning, it looked a little rough for Tomáš, but that's what we're going to be dealing with going forward a little bit more. So be on the lookout for that, and hopefully more balanced lineup there. So, you know, Rob's saying, well, they're clearly bad luck, so you'll have to burn them now.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm not burning this one, I can say that much.
Yeah, no, mine's not going away. That's for sure. Just another Randy G chiming in. This season's going to be to swap storylines instead of lots of goals. Both ways, fewer goals scored, and Jones will have to rise to occasion and support our crappy D. Wow. Oh, gosh.
Oh, I mean, you're already writing the ending chapter of this season already. Okay.
Yeah. So there's Laurel. Link for shirts right there. By all means, check it out. Just hit the swag shop on the Teal Town USA website for sure. On that,
I think if you're looking for forward depth, you know, trying to get a left winger or a right wing, the Sharks don't really have any trades, anything to trade for or have anything to trade with. They don't have any draft picks. They barely have any cap room. This is kind of it. So what you see is what you kind of got.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, too, is that you really don't have many chips right now. I mean, if I pull up Cap Friendly really quick, I mean, we have $2.6 million in cap space room. I mean, you're looking at limited quantities, and of course, next year you don't have your first round pick.
McDavid.
What's that?
Yeah, I wish we could. I wish we could trade. Rob says, "Can't we trade for McDavid?"
If you could find the roster spot or the roster room for him, by all means, do it. John, thank you for the dollar donation. Appreciate it. A dollar for one goal in the lame video package of the Vegas Cowboys apple dumpling game. No. Yeah, no, that golden carpet was a little weird, but
no comment.
No comment. All right. So, in case you missed anything and you want to watch this again, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, you love it. And we are a part of the Big Heads Hockey or Big Heads Podcast Network. So check us out there as well. So, Al, we close in on the first inaugural season or first inaugural edition of Teal Town After Dark for this night. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
If you're looking for a Sharks star of the game, it's obviously going to be Martin Jones. I think this might be a good season for him. It's just the team around him is going to be the issue. So we'll see what happens, but I am really looking forward to seeing what Martin Jones does throughout the season. But I think if you're looking at this game overall, I think this is a game that you have to kind of wipe away and come back at it on Friday. And if you get the same result, then you got some bigger issues.
Yeah, and if you do have that same result, it's going to be a tough one. And, is it, if we lose to the Ducks on Saturday, is it time to panic? I don't think so, but there needs to be some adjustments made quickly, in my opinion.
I think the Ducks are going to be really good this year, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Sharks fan 27, Alex, good to see you in here. Any dates yet for the Sharks tweet up? Nothing yet set in stone. Hoping to hear back from the Sharks on when we can organize that up for sure, let alone a Teal Town USA day at the tank. So, well, with that, we will close in on this edition. You can check us out on TealTownUSA.com where we have some great content as well. If you missed any of our previous content, AJ was with Kevin LeBanc for a few minutes talking about camp. You could see our interview with Randy Hahn, as well as Brody Brazil breaking down the Sharks with AJ. So we appreciate you immensely, and thanks for watching. And until Friday night, where we will come to you live from the tank, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Thank you so much, everyone, and we will see you on Friday. Have a great night, everyone.